We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I think we have our best players out there.
Yikes!
Dale Arnold.
The fact that no one had done it until Tom Brady seemed to suggest that he also wouldn't do it. The fact that he's done it adds to his legacy as the greatest of all time.
We're waiting.
I was wrong. Tom Brady never fell off a cliff.
Rich Keefe.
And again, not hyperbole, the New England Patriots aren't good at anything.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Cam stinks.
I should have asked if I could smell him.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So how many years late was Max Kellerman's mea culpa?
Like six? I didn't keep track, but it was a long time ago that he was saying that. And we thought he was eventually going to be right, but you know what? Maybe not.
It hasn't been yet.
Maybe Tom will just be good forever. Maybe
or he'll just win this year and then retire and never have a chance to fall off a cliff because he has the best set of weapons in football.
Or he'll
just
come back next year. Well, I don't know.
Look at the camera. Single shot of Max. Can we get a single shot of Max here?
Oh, who cares?
Why are we doing
this? Here it is.
I don't know.
Let's go, Max.
All right, there we go. Max, just say it. Just look into the camera. Say,
Molly
I was
wrong.
No, say, I was wrong. Tom Brady never fell off a cliff. Please do it.
I was wrong. Tom Brady never fell off a cliff.
I legit don't care.
No, and we're giving him what he wants, just like we did back then. We gave him what he wanted with the attention.
He owned that. Like, he was able to say.
He was so proud. He built his career off of it. The name Max Kellerman has been built up by that. That he called out Tom Brady, and yet we continue to give him the attention he wants. Can we move on?
Yes.
Give me attention.
Yes.
Dale, you see my hat?
That's why we're here.
I got my suck for luck Trevor Lawrence tank.
You don't wear hats, you wear visors.
A visor, sorry. Yeah. My tank for Trevor Clemson visor. Aren't you glad I wore it?
You suck. Yeah. Suck so bad.
Well, you can tank, but you can't tank enough to get him.
Well, I'm hoping.
That team in New York's got sort of a lead on you in that department.
Yeah, but Dale, two games against the Jets, baby.
If I throw those,
let's go!
Except they're going to be doing the same thing.
Oh, just imagine
they're gonna be
that.
You take it.
So bad.
I mean, Rich, I think, correctly predicted quite some time ago.
That the Patriots would go to the AFC title game? Because I don't think that was correct.
Let him finish. Correctly predicted some time ago that the Jets are going to go 0-16.
Yeah.
I think they are going to go 0-16.
That's why they're hanging on to Adam
Gase. And Adam Gase will still have
a
job.
That's the only reason why they have him right now is because let him submarine the season, then you can fire him, bring in a new coach with Trevor Lawrence, and you hope you turn around.
So that's he's ML Carr.
Yes. Yep.
Fought while ripping Adam Gase.
So what's the alternative? You bring in, you promote Greg Williams, or you like try to find somebody else right now?
Not it's Greg impossible. Williams. He's so emotional, you might steal a win somewhere out of that, just pure emotion.
That's true. He did it with the Browns.
He's fist pumping on the sideline.
Yeah,
you win a game. And you're
so
like,
that's their problem. That's their problem right there.
Their issue is if the Patriots try to beat him.
Well, I actually think that the Jets are so bad, the Patriots will beat them even if they're not trying to beat them.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably
they're that bad.
They really are.
Right, because as little talent as the Patriots have, the Jets have far worse. I mean, the Jets are one of the worst teams, I think, in the history of football. Like, if you go up and down, and obviously, yeah, there's the 0-16 Lions, there was an 0-16 Browns team, but if you just, like, to a man, they're horrible. And there's very few players you'd even want or, I think, make other teams.
Well, but they've quietly also sold off some of those players over the last couple of weeks. They traded, like, the defensive
linemen. They're going to trade more, too.
Right. But they are unloading. They are going to just have, like, practice squatters playing out the string.
Like, at the beginning of the year, you're like, oh, well, Jamal Adams and, Le'Veon Bell, like, those are really good players. See you later. Like, two of their top three receivers are Chris Hogan and Braxton Berrios. And that's a real thing.
Honey Nut Berrios, baby.
Right.
And you know what?
Swag. Still might be better than yours.
I think if the XFL finished and had a champion, I would take the XFL champion over the Jets.
Oh.
We'll never know who that XFL champion was.
Nope. No.
Fictional.
You know? It's like the Montreal Expos of 94. Yep. Who would it have been?
That franchise went down the crapper afterwards.
Yeah.
They're maybe terrible. We'll know, you know, when The Rock owns the XFL, maybe they'll actually finish a season and get to a championship.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't love their chances. The Rock is very good at things, but I don't think that he can save
him bleeding?
The, huh?
Cut himself working out. And then he was licking his own blood. I think he's
too big.
Line off the rails.
I think he's too big now.
You know Mark Cuban's hogs fat get slaughtered?
Sure.
I think
he's too big.
The Rock has gotten too big for his britches.
I agree.
I do. Too big. It's over. Fella. Dale, I know you love him.
I will come in and fight you if you say bad things about The Rock.
I like The Rock too, Dale, but I think he's gotten too big for his britches. I think the character and everything, it's snowballed. Too big.
Very successful. It's like recently on his Instagram account, he came out with an endorsement for President of the United States.
Yeah, I saw that.
And a whole bunch of people, what are you doing? I'll never watch a movie you make again. Yeah, right.
I will.
That's like those people who say, I'll never go to a game again. Now, the football players... We're kneeling. I will never watch the Patriots play again. Yes, you will.
Well, those, it's like Chris Evans, Captain America, is like super left. And yeah, I'm pretty sure Endgame made like $5 billion. Right. So I don't think he really held people away from seeing
The
that
Rock
movie.
Makes movies that combine action and comedy.
Right. Yeah.
Like those generally do well with people like me.
Correct.
I don't care about his politics. Yes, I am a simp.
Yep.
I want to laugh.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And I want to see some things blow up. Maybe a guy get thrown through a glass window or something.
I appreciate
and
the correct usage of simp. So yeah. I'm proud of you.
Simp. What's simp? Like, I think to myself, I can't think of a movie I'm less interested in seeing than a movie about the Jungle Cruise at Disney. But I'll go see it.
You'll see it because there's The Rock.
Well, I probably won't go see it because we may not be able to go.
Maybe on demand when it comes
anywhere.
Out.
I do that. Yeah,
see it in friendly confines.
So we had our hot takes after Sunday's debacle here at Gillette Stadium, but Andy hasn't yet had his hot take from what happened on Sunday.
And I need to issue an apology as part of my hot take.
I accept your apology.
How about this?
Not to you, Dale.
Takes a pretty big man to admit that he was wrong, doesn't it?
Big man.
A big bearded man now.
Yeah. Yes. Bill Belichick. I apologize.
You're apologizing to Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
You know what?
Wow.
He can sleep now.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I may have snarkily mocked Bill Belichick once or twice for things he has said. And one of those things may have been when he talked about the quarterback position on his team back in August.
We've got a very competitive competition at that very competitive position.
Oh boy.
I may have joked that he
we all kind of mocked that at the
didn't
time, too.
Seem
just
right,
the phraseology
did it?
Didn't
he squeezed
go well.
A few too many competitive competition. You know, I joked that maybe he had bears trying to get a thesaurus for a synonym for competitive.
We wanted to add competition. We always try to add competition to our team, and we felt like we'd be able to do that.
And some of us thought there was no competition, that the day Cam Newton
correct.
Was rumored to become a Patriot, the day that James White and Stephon Gilmore googly-eyed him on Twitter.
And they were excited.
The competition was over because the clear talent, the cream of the depth chart, rose to the top. Boy, was I wrong. Because after the last 3 weeks, I've gotten a chance to unfortunately see quite a bit of Brian Hoyer, Jarrett Stidham.
We've seen them all.
And Cam Newton. And they are three competitive beings who do the exact damn thing. Nothing productive for your offense and generally give the ball to the other team.
Well, they'll turn it over.
Either via bad throws, bad decisions, fumbles, all three of them stink. I think Bill was right. It was a very, very, very competitive training camp that nobody got to see. But just because you're competitive, there's a difference between good competition. Mm-hmm. Ooh, these guys all make each other better. Iron sharpens iron. This was not iron sharpens iron. This was, I don't even know.
Yeah.
What's the weakest element? I don't know. What's
I don't know. You'd have to go to some
puddle
scientists.
Of goo does not sharpen. Puddle of goo does not sharpen. Puddle of goo.
No.
I'm sorry, Bill Belichick. I was wrong. It was competitive in a negative sense.
You've got a very competitive competition.
And I'll even double down on what you're saying because I agree with you, by the way. If it was a competition for throwing the football, Brian Hoyer's better than Cam Newton. Now, Cam Newton can obviously do some things Brian Hoyer can't do. I understand that.
Right.
But just throwing the football? Tell me what you've seen from Cam Newton that indicates he can do that.
Certainly isn't the...
hasn't been able... Outside of Seattle. I mean, Seattle, he threw 400 yards. That
almost.
Was week two. You know?
And that, was, as you said, though, Rich, that was the aberration.
I think that was also more Seattle than anything
also,
else. It wasn't just a random good game for Cam. It was Seattle's pass defense is like historically
bad. Is that the fewest
bad.
They've given up?
No, Kirk Cousins only threw 250.
Okay, so.
But yeah.
Among the least.
Yeah, yeah,
among
yeah.
their best performances.
Oh, they've given up
unquote.
Close to 500 a couple of times. I think Dak Prescott threw 472. They had some pretty wild numbers there. So.
And now we've reached the point where, and I don't say this in a mocking manner because I'm done mocking now that I've had to eat my crow based on my Bill Belichick comments.
Yeah, yeah.
He's throwing like Tim Tebow. Like just, okay, there's a guy right there 10 yards away, and you threw it 6 yards.
Well, like
why is that?
And because he even revealed on the Greg Hill show yesterday that he is thinking a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, he's not that he's nervous or scared or like intimidated. It's not that, but he's in his own head.
Right.
And we see that in other sports. You know, maybe it's a guy at the free throw line or Jose Altuve's dealing with it. Like that might be what it is. And you don't normally see
Bernhard
it with quarterbacks.
Longer when he was putting.
So,
remember
you know,
that?
Right. And so you don't normally see it with a quarterback, right? Because I don't know, things move too fast. Whereas like, again, like the free throw line, you're like, you're all by yourself and you're like, oh crap. And you know, a second baseman, this is the easiest throw in the world.
Steve Sachs puts it into the
Chuck Knobloch hit Keith Olbermann's mom that one time. Then they had to move him to left field. Like, there's a whole thing with it because that's the easiest throw in baseball. And same with the free throw. Like, you psych yourself out mentally. And for a quarterback, you wouldn't normally think that would happen because you just have to react, right? You got guys chasing you down. They're going to kill you and everything else. But it's a little 5 yard out. And you look at it, and you throw it in the guy's shoes. And you're like, what the hell is that? But yeah, it's gone real south.
Passes that he's completed. Have looked like ducks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're wobbling all over the place.
Everything looks difficult, and it's like complicated, and it's nothing about the offense is smooth.
And that leads me to, I think I started this last week. It's on Cam. It's always on the guy who can't do it. Like physically, it's his job. He's a professional. I can feel bad for it, whatever. But I also, by extension, it's on Josh. And I said it a week ago. Whatever the Pittsburgh Steelers did last year with their quarterbacks when they simplified everything and it was like boots and rollouts and really only one tight end dragging, they need to do some of that to build some positive momentum, confidence with Cam. Do some things where a boot, and if the guy's 100%. Not open, just run it, Cam. Because, A, that's the other thing. Cam's not even running. He's standing in the pocket, like bouncing around, looking scared.
And holding.
Right.
Let him run. Holding.
Cut the field down in half. Do one receiver. I don't know. Did you notice what the 49ers did? Because it looked to me like they just did motion swing pass, motion swing pass, motion swing pass.
That should be a blueprint for how you get your quarterback going. Because Jimmy Garoppolo didn't make a single difficult throw because he didn't have to.
Right.
All it was swing passes, and then, you know, to his credit, his receivers get open, and then they're super physical and mean.
And to his credit, he hit the swing pass, which some guys make look difficult. And I'm not saying,
you know, maybe
Cam might not screw those up.
Maybe he can't throw the ball to the
sideline. Because some guys can't, and then maybe that makes it even worse, and you're like, he can't even throw a swing
pass. But I think part of it too is he is asked to make like a read in like a progression, and then he kind of gets all out of whack, and then he ends up rushing the throw late
with an offense that he's not that familiar with yet.
No, but like, I don't know, make it easier. Other teams around the league are able to do it,
right? Other quarterbacks, lesser talents.
Because we don't always go through every single quarterback in the league that has, you know, more picks than touchdowns, right? And we usually just say, what, that guy sucks. That guy sucks. He's got more picks than touchdowns. And we don't make all the excuses like, well, the skill guys aren't great. Oh, he had his left guard.
His guard was hurt.
That's what you do to your own team because you watch every single play. But those other quarterbacks that struggle. But guess what? In 2020, most quarterbacks don't struggle. Most quarterbacks light it up. Even bad teams, they might lose, you know, 33-28. And you're like, oh, what happened? Right. Like, I don't know. We still scored three touchdowns.
Yeah,
like, what do you want
or
from me?
Or if you throw three or four picks, you do so while throwing for 350 yards, not throwing for like 92 yards and three picks.
Jameis Winston, everyone's like, you threw 30 picks. Like, yeah, I threw 33 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
So to your point, Andy, and I think you're right about Josh McDaniels, Mike Giardi tweeted this out a few minutes ago because Josh McDaniels did one of those video Zoom sessions with the media today. Mike said, ask Josh McDaniels about Cam Newton attempting just three throws to the right of the formation over the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Quote, I think maybe more coincidence than planning. There's no intent on just putting the ball in a certain spot on the field. We're aware of that. Unquote. Then fix it. So we're aware that he's only thrown the ball to the right of the formation three times in the last two games. We're aware of it. We didn't mean it to happen. So do something.
And a team that supposedly monitors everything, like down to the very, remember the things coming out of the Atlanta Super Bowl where they knew Julio had a bad left ankle and he would most likely break to the left because he's pushing off his right or like to the most minute detail. most minute detail for tendencies, and you want to be balanced, and you don't want to be predictable, and all these things. And you didn't notice? You don't throw to the right that you're cutting the field in half?
Really odd.
Now, I think...
Because I'm going to guess the defensive coordinator has noticed.
Well, I think everybody notices.
The guy on the opposite side is going, wait a minute, they never throw over there.
Any sport you watch now puts that little color-coded chart, reds and greens, of whether it's baseball, basketball, football, where the ball goes, where the ball was completed, the distance, all of it. They all have these little charts, right?
Yep.
And yet the Patriots didn't notice we're only throwing to the left. Maybe we should mix it up and use the whole field. We're not that good as it is, and we're cutting off half the field in terms of blanketing that. And I think it's a little more than that. I think it has to do in part with his mechanics. I think he throws left because he can only throw left. Because he steps left on every throw. Every single throw. If I were his little league coach, I'd be doing the trick where you put the bats behind the kid so he can't step out when he swings.
Yeah,
no, like, step to the pitcher.
Right here.
Do not be afraid of the ball. Do not step in the dugout over there. And that's what Cam does on every throw, which is why I would like to also revisit the week two, week three stories about, the Patriots really fixed his mechanics.
You know, they've got him totally fixed.
The footwork and the head. Oh, my God.
But I thought that was an
overrated. No, I'm not actually seeing it. I'm literally not seeing it.
That was an overrated storyline anyway, because 10 years into the league, I don't think you have to fix his mechanics.
Do you
think
who said that? Jed Fish. You don't fix the feet of quarterbacks that have been throwing the football for 20 years. You don't fix their throwing motion.
You
try to fix their head. That's where he needs to work.
Do you think a quarterback guru would say, hey, Philip Rivers throws the ball, that's the right way to do it?
No.
Hell no, but the guy's made a career out of it. He's had a hell of a career throwing kind of three-quarter sidearm.
He sucks so now, too.
Well, he sucks now, but like he used to be able to throw it all over the place.
He used to sling it.
So some guys, it's going to look a little bit different, so that wasn't the problem. I can't get by how this is the same quarterback and offensive coordinator from week one, where they said, we're going to run the hell out of it, and we're going to be efficient in the passing game, 15 of 19, and then we're going to run it a lot. And then the next week, they have a bad pass defense, so we're going to throw it. And you threw it to the same crap receivers that you have now. And then after that, it was like you felt like, all right, the season's over, we're all set, everything's going to be easy. And every single point that they have scored since has been a struggle.
Yes.
It has been an absolute slog to move down the field and try to score. It's looked so disjointed. And you're like, how can you be – again, they weren't the greatest show on turf the first 2 weeks, but at least it was an efficient offense to some degree.
At least you felt like they could score a touchdown once in a while.
It's unbelievable. Like, you look at the last three games that Cam Newton has played. He had 162 yards passing against Vegas, 157 against Denver, and then 98 against San Francisco and got yanked.
Otto Graham's like, what are those numbers?
Yeah, the forward pass has been around for a while, and these guys are taking you all the way back to, you know, without face masks.
Tim Tebow's like, wait, you guys cut me?
Yeah, he's probably working out. They might bring him in.
A couple jump passes over the middle would be a hit right now.
Remember that, and I remember vividly when they brought Tebow in here, and we're all going, what the hell are they doing? Why? And this is obviously Josh wants to bring him in, give him a chance, all that stuff. And I remember the first couple of times we watched him throw the football, we went, he can't do this.
And another similarity, because I think there are some similarities here. Remember the talk afterwards, and I don't know if this was ever 100% validated, but Tim Tebow has a learning disability and he can't read defenses. And that was because you'd be at practice and literally in training camp, you'd hear the media, the crowd, throw the ball, throw the ball, just And it's the same thing now with Cam.
Right.
Like,
poor guy.
Everybody's like, throw the ball. Why are you holding? I wonder if he has longstanding, you know, read issues in terms of going through his progressions. And then it's magnified by the fact not only he can't read the defense and in a quick and timely manner, the throws aren't good even when he does decide where he's going to. So it's a combination, like Tebow, of not accurate throws, bad throws, one-hop throws, behind guys throws, and you're not making quick reads.
For his career, even counting the five games this season and the two games he played last season, Newton averages 230 yards passing a game. And doesn't it seem so foreign right now to think that he could actually throw for 230 yards? 230 yards is low compared to like Mahomes and Wilson and those guys. But still, that's a 3,000, that's like a 3,500 yard season or more, you know?
Which is kind of low these days.
These days it's low, but if you combine it with 12 rushing touchdowns and 500 yards rushing, you're like, okay, that's what your offense is right now. But even that, like all of that has gone away all of a sudden.
If you're Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish, what are some concrete things you can do with him? Because you're not fixing his throwing motion.
Run him.
What can you do Sunday against Buffalo to say, look, at least we'll have a chance to score a
12
touchdown?
12 carries. You got to do run-pass option like you're playing the Dolphins. Run. depending on N'Keal Harry's health, you do those stupid little touch passes when he's like running across the formation. Like, he's not as good as Deebo Samuel, but let's see it. Let's do it. Run him.
Well,
like,
we talked about forcing the ball.
Use
to
him like the San Francisco
and then he took
uses
that shot
Deebo
to the head.
Yeah, you know,
he won't play Sunday.
Maybe he won't. But then fine, use Myers and Zuber and Bird that way. That's who you have. So that's what you're gonna have to do. Throw to Dalton Keene. Let's get crazy. Let's get slappy. Let's
you
throw
threw
the
to him once
level.
Last week.
Yeah, throw to
he
him
got you 8 yards.
How about throw to him twice.
And
throw
you finish the play with the ball, unlike Ryan Izzo.
I think, you know, and obviously maybe Edelman's going to have to throw another pass. Maybe you run like a Rex Burkhead Wildcat. Like, you have to get stupid now. Like, you don't have a very good offense, so you have to get beyond creative. I don't want to see Cam Newton standing back there 30 times, drop back in the pocket, throwing the ball. That's not going to work. They need to run, and because the whole issue after the first game was, oh, is this sustainable? Is this sustainable? Are you going to be able to keep them long term? At this point, you're just trying to win a game. You're trying to win a game and score points. You've scored one touchdown in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So Cam Newton has to run the ball, like designed runs, 10 times next week.
I would 100% agree with that. And not only do you need a win, it's a must win. It isn't just a,
we
need to stop the momentum.
I think they're done anyway, but you're cooked if you lose Sunday.
Correct.
Because there's been rumblings about each of the last two games being must win, just because Denver was a bad team, you lost. Like, all right, well, a lot of season left. San Francisco, because of how bad the Denver game was, now this is a must win because it's at home. It's like, then you get smoked, and you're like, well, all right, well, the next one's a division game. So we've kind of been tiptoeing around it for a while.
But this is the real one. Because
and it's 2 days before the deadline.
Any
the
hope
deadline.
That anyone has had of turning this around includes beating the Bills twice. Like, you have that. You control it. And in the back of your mind, you don't really trust the Bills, who have emboldened that idea the way they have played in recent weeks.
Oh, I don't think they're very good still, but guess what?
They're better than you.
Neither are the Patriots.
They're better than you, and you're going on the road. So it's not like this easy, they're coming to you, and if you don't win this...
Well, there won't be any sex toys probably thrown in.
I don't know. There
zone.
Might be. There
you
might be like a guy that works there, maybe tosses it out there for old time's sake.
The security.
He's like, sorry, guys. Like, get him out of here.
Yeah, one guy standing there. Yeah. No, it wasn't me.
I'll throw myself. Out. Sorry, I just wanted to put that on the field.
I fear, and I don't know, Belichick's a pretty smart guy, very good coach. You'd think that he and Josh McDaniels would do exactly what Rich just said. Look, we got to run him. We got to do this. We got to do that. But why haven't they done it yet?
Well, I mean, they did it against Miami. Like,
right, but I'm saying the last three weeks, last two games?
No idea. No idea. Because it's not like something you needed to add to it if you wanted the excuse of, well, they didn't practice against Denver and they didn't have it. No, we've already seen it.
And then and they practiced last week.
And then this week, I mean, I guess you were just so – you got smoked, right? You gave – the defense was awful in this one. So you give up a touchdown right away, so you're already chasing it. This is not a team that is going to be able to come back from big deficits.
And I think that's one of the biggest things is the Miami game, they played on their terms. What happened in the Seattle game? You got to pick six right away. So, like, there was some positive momentum. There was a foundation to build upon in that game. And I said it last week. I thought the start of the 49ers game was massive, and you crapped your pants in the start. Yeah. And not surprisingly, the rest of the day followed suit. I don't think you can – if you go to Buffalo and Josh Allen goes right down the field and, you know, he's 6 of 8 passing and they're all up 7-0 –
no, you
right, here
need
we
a,
go again.
You kind of need a pick six.
You need something.
Or
and
whatever.
He's capable.
So he 100% is
or
capable.
Just, I don't need the pick six.
I'm not sure the Patriots are. Look at the interception numbers this year as compared to last year.
And they've dropped a few, too. Like, I mean, they've had some right in their hands. And did you see what the line is for this game?
No, what is it?
Did you see this? Bills by 3.5. And they're at home, so it's basically like neutral site. They think it's a pick-em.
But I have heard, Shyman, you can maybe speak on this, that the baked-in 3 for home has been reduced in this year without
fans.
Yeah,
it's like reduced to like 2.5.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So they're
a one-point favorite.
But I don't think Vegas trusts the Bills either, especially after watching what they did against the Jets.
And I bet
they don't trust the Patriots to be as bad as they've been.
I think that's it.
They have the same fallback on history tendencies as a lot of people. Because
they're
do.
Like, do we really want to give all these points, you know, to against Belichick?
Nah.
We're going to get burned. So, that could be.
We'll talk about this throughout the course of the day. I put up one of these quickie Twitter polls today.
You didn't have the right answer.
Why don't you let him say what it is first?
Go ahead. Then I'll yell.
Start. I just asked a simple question. What should the Patriots do between now and next Tuesday? And there were three choices. Evidently, Andy thought there should have been four. Three choices was buy, sell, or stand pat. Sell is winning by a lot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means a lot of folks have said, this is done.
I also think, to me, and this is, you know, not ideal for this business, but ask me on Monday, because I feel like Sunday is the key to this whole thing. Now, I think they're not good. I still say I've changed my mind on them. I was hesitant to jump ship after Denver, but then after seeing them get waxed by San Francisco, I'm done. But I also don't think the division is good. And if Bill's goal is to win the division at all costs with what they have right now, and if you beat the Bills, you're still in it.
Like right, but AFC, to what end? Right. No, to what end?
It's a fair question. To
are
what
you,
end?
Are you better than the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Titans, the Steelers?
Nope.
Okay, so what's the point? I can make the playoffs as a seven seed to be, as Shaughnessy wrote, somebody else's tomato can for a change.
Cannon fodder.
Well, that's a good point. Like,
I can be those Bills, Jags, bad teams that make the playoffs.
Like, do they have a puncher's chance?
No.
It doesn't look like
it. No, you're right. Worst case scenario, like, even if you tell yourself, we can find a way to beat the Titans, are we going to string together a couple wins against actual football teams? No, because you haven't done that in a year. In a full year, you haven't been able to beat good football teams.
But by the way, if you trade... Because Gilmore and Tooney are the ones that jump to the top, right?
Unload them. Ship them out.
What do you get for those guys?
A two and a three, baby.
Exactly. Woo! Exactly. You're not getting much
and
for either
I
one.
I use the two and the three
to
with
what?
My number 11 overall pick to move up to four to get one of the top three quarterbacks. Tanking for Trevor. If it's not him, then Lance is the manse.
Lance
That's
is the man.
Dumbest thing I've ever
I hate
heard.
It so much.
That's because I made it up on the fly.
I couldn't hate it.
It doesn't always work when you go quick.
I understand. 617.
That's what she said.
Andy, you can't set up your own jokes like that.
I was going to do it for you, and I thought, this is childish, and then he did it for himself.
Well, if it's so childish, immature. That's called Andy.
Okay.
Remember how they used to have that slogan, it's called Bruin? It's
Lance
called Andy.
Manse.
It's childish. That's
Lance
me.
Is the manse.
I love Lance, and I can't hate what you just said.
Lance
anymore.
Is the manse.
617.
Give yourself a chance with Lance.
That's
Lance
better.
Is the man.
Better, Dale.
It's better. He's workshopping it as we go along.
We got 4 hours.
It might be better if we didn't do it on the air, but you know what the hell?
No, it's groupthink.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I think Patriots fans aren't done venting yet, but believe it or not, there's a positive.
Yes, and I'm going to sell it to you.
Mr. Positivity.
That's me.
Lance is the manse.
No.
Andy Hart.
Give yourself a chance.
Is going to sell you on the positive part of all this. Keyshawn Johnson will join us later on. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
I do think there's a legitimate consideration at some point where you say, okay, Cam stinks.
I think they should start fit him.
On WEEI.
Yo, Coach, I know you said Cam is still your starting quarterback here on Sunday. So my question would be, you know, based on what you've seen the last three games that he's played, what makes you confident that he can fix it?
Well, I think he's our best player there, and so, you know, again, there are other problems offensively. There are other things that we need to do better, and that's what we're going to work on. I think we have our best players out there.
Sort of has the feel of my team's out on the court, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Wow.
That's all you got?
I mean, you say Cam Newton. I still think Cam Newton is the best quarterback on this team.
Yes.
He's playing like he's one of the worst in all of football, but that doesn't mean he's not the best on this team.
Right.
They just... It's a horrible group. I thought it was a better group, and Andy's been on this for a while. I'll give you credit for that. You said it was one of the worst QB rooms in the league, and I said, nah, with Cam Newton it isn't, but it is. And, you know, how they feel about Jarrett Stidham, I think, was pretty clear early in the year, where the one opportunity to start went to Brian Hoyer. Stidham hasn't even been active till the last couple of weeks. And then he goes out there and he throws a pick every single time he plays.
He really does.
Like every single time he plays.
He has an opportunity. Any of these.
Yeah.
Remember when Dan Orlovsky, we talked to him and he's like, no one cares how you feel, Jared, or you had the job, you didn't. You need to be ready every time because you're a fourth-round pick, and any opportunity might be the last,
correct.
So you need to wow or take
point.
Advantage.
Yeah.
He has not done that. And I still give him the little bit of the out, and we may find out in 2 or 3 weeks. Give him a week when he's the starter. Wednesday, he's the starter. Thursday, he's the starter.
Well,
start the
probably
game.
Probably a couple of weeks away from
we
that.
We may be.
Yeah.
Because I do go back to Belichick himself at the beginning of the Brady era when he freaked out because, he played his worst game, but he split reps with Drew, and you can't possibly get two quarterbacks ready to play, and it's not fair to the quarterback.
Oh, we know he thinks practice is important.
Right, he does. He has told
he
us practice is important.
Very clear.
He actually said they made good use of their practice last week. God, I'd hate to see what bad use looks like.
I doubt it very much.
Their week of practice made their defense worse.
Yeah, yes,
that's weird.
Did.
Well, because they practiced against the offense, so they basically did nothing. They just relaxed.
Good point. They probably like, hey, you guys are doing great.
No challenge at all.
But you have something positive.
I have a positive spin.
We'll be the judge of this.
Yeah, let's
I
see.
Mean, let's.
It's a good sell by me.
Okay.
I don't know if it's true.
I don't know yet. But
so I would urge everybody, if you want the in-depth version, go over to weei.com, where I wrote a column posted this morning basically saying, and I'll start with a question for you guys. Which person in the Patriots organization do you have the most confidence in their ability to do their job right now?
Still Bill Belichick.
Ding, 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 ding. The right answer with Rich Keefe.
Thank you.
You buzzed in early. Nice job.
I hesitated only in this regard.
Uh-oh.
To coach or to draft?
Well, right now we're playing, so it's mostly coaching period, Dale.
Draft's not till April.
Right.
Draft's not till April, Dale, so we can put that one.
But is it fair to say, I got questions about this guy's drafting right now.
Yes, and we can get into that
the draft
later.
Yeah. Stinks.
We got plenty of segments here, 4 hours, Dale. This segment, let's focus on their playing games week to week, preparation, game planning, scheming, all of those things. I think most Patriots fans would still agree Bill is their best option to succeed.
Sure.
That has been negated.
What did Tony Dungy call him? The fixer.
Yes.
The best fixer in the game.
Yeah. And then he kept going and said, but this is not salvageable.
Not fixable, Andy, we could have left it at where
I said. Sorry. That's right. It's a positive segment. Drop that. Mm-hmm. So the last 3 weeks, though, or last three games, that has been negated, in my opinion. 1 week, we know he didn't practice. So he couldn't, you know, work his magic, put himself in the game plan, do all that. So forget about that. The other 2 weeks are noted adversaries that have shown they can match wits with Bill Belichick. Andy Reid is a Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame coach,
very good coach
who has beaten Belichick in big games.
Yep.
He has caused questions about the quarterback position in New England before. He's been there, done that against Bill. And I would say Kyle Shanahan is right on that verge. He hasn't won the Super Bowl.
And you skip past Mike Vrabel, who I think's ahead of both those guys.
Well, yeah, but I'm just talking about the three-game losing
against
streak.
These
right,
guys, yeah.
Right.
No, but
they've lost three games, and one was Andy Reid, okay. One was you didn't get to practice. One was Kyle Shanahan. You got pantsed by him. The good news is, and you can run this down, Rich.
Okay.
You have, to me, a dramatic coaching advantage every game moving forward, except maybe the always tough Ravens Harbaugh thing where
I like Harbaugh.
It feels like you pants Harbaugh every time.
He's a good coach.
But their team's always in it. Well, you do. You kind of pants
him. Too.
He doesn't know the rules and you're doing things,
one,
right?
But his team's been, I mean, last year you certainly didn't pants him.
No. But I'm just saying
he's the guy who started the Deflategate thing.
You never pants the Ravens
guess what
team.
Doing.
But I think sometimes you pants the Ravens coach, and I don't know how they still stay competitive. But the point is, every other game moving forward, starting this week with Sean McDermott, you have the coaching advantage. So you have a full week of practice and a coaching advantage. And then I think we would all say that the following week against the Jets and Adam Gase, and then right on down the line.
Yeah, I think you got a pretty decided advantage.
You have the coaching advantage. So your greatest strength, you should be able to put to use moving forward over the next 2.5 months of football.
Don't you think the coaching advantage, and I agree with most of what you're saying, the coaching advantage, though, really helps when the talent is close. And then the coaching advantage can kind of push you over the top, right?
In the past, that has been, and I think there are some games coming where the talent advantage isn't necessarily, or disadvantage isn't necessarily the Chiefs or the Ravens, or games where you're just flat out not as talented.
Nope.
There's other games. Yeah, there might be bad matchups, but do you have a matchup you can take advantage of?
Watching Arizona on Sunday night, watching that entire game, they are going to give up 50 points to that team.
They very well could.
Yeah. They are going to smoke them. Kyler Murray's going to do whatever he wants. DeAndre Hopkins is going to, I mean, they've done a good job in the past on Hopkins when he was on the Texans. But now when you combine Chase Edmonds and Christian Kirk and all these other weapons that they have.
It's a positive segment.
Oh, sorry.
In that matchup, we're going to focus on the fact that Bill Belichick is the GOAT coach. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't win in college, got canned,
and is now coaching
in Arizona.
Kyle Shanahan.
You got to play to your strengths, and your strengths right now is the 68-year-old man on the sidelines.
Right,
that's your greatest strength.
And I'm not trying to negate the positivity here.
It's always negative with this guy. Dale Arnold's always negative.
I'll channel
brings
Ron
right back
Borges
down.
Here. Maybe it's not the X's and O's. Maybe it is the Jimmys and Joes, and his Jimmys and Joes aren't very good.
Oh, yeah, they're not even called Jimmy or Joe. They're like Bill and Bob.
Schmoes.
They suck.
and so
even the greatest coach of all time, and I think he is, there's a limit to how much he can do with this group
of
Flotsam and Jetsam.
And I think it came into full picture when you're right, you didn't have a full week of practice, but normally it's still a Bill Belichick coach team. You should be able to beat Vic Fangio and an injured Broncos team at home, and you don't. So,
but you didn't practice. I don't know if you heard.
No, I remember.
Okay, just checking.
But I think in years past...
I think
past,
he said that about five times that week.
I think
I'll take the over on that.
The previous 20 years, though, that's a game that you win.
But you were good. See, that's the issue.
You were good against the Broncos?
No, the previous 20 years.
Oh, yeah, right.
You had talent. So in those years, you had Brady. You had, you know, defensive stalwarts. You had an elite pass catcher, whether it was Edelman or Welker or Moss or Gronk or any of those. Now you don't have that. So the margin for error is not smaller. It's gone. Now it's all on Bill to control the game, play the game on their terms,
play
from ahead. All of those cliches, remember, it used to be Bill would have to work his magic against the Ravens. Ugh, we got a dogfight. We're down two scores in the playoffs, right? Or a Super Bowl. They're a 3-4 team. By God, they're a 4-3 team now. Like, he pulled out his magic, his tricks, his tactical, you know, mirror jobs in the biggest games when he knew he needed to. Now he needs to pull those out every freaking week because he needs them every freaking week, because he has bet on himself, and right now he's losing.
But the last 2 weeks couldn't have been worse.
And he said earlier today,
it's not on.
He said earlier today about you know, trade deadline week, and he said, you know, it's really Nick. You know, when things start to heat up, he'll come to me. And I was thinking to myself, his plate's pretty full this week.
Yes,
because he's got to do what Andy just said. He's got to figure this out. He's got to be. What can we do? How do we get better? I don't want him, you know, making calls to Team X and Team Y, and hey, what do you have available? So Nick, you go do all that stuff. You don't talk to Bill until it gets to, okay, I got a deal here for you, Bill.
Yeah, I don't need Bill making like a cold call saying,
no,
would you take a seventh for your fifth receiver? And we'll also take a set. Like, nope, don't make those calls. You're right. If it's a big one, if I don't know, even quarterback is available,
well, if
or
it's,
some weird
if,
one. J.J. Watt.
J.J.
Okay.
Watt all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
But if it's Gilmore or Tooney leaving, that's a Bill decision. If
you
it's,
think,
if
yes.
it's the next Akeem
yeah,
Ayers.
Yeah, it's not like
then,
Nick
yeah,
comes
that's...
to Bill and says, oh, Bill, by the way, I just traded Stephon Gilmore.
Okay. And Tooney was
Seattle.
Actually a package
They're both
deal.
Gone. Yeah,
what'd
later.
You get in return? A fifth. What?
Can't wait to spend it on a kicker.
No, I'll trade it 17 times,
that's
and then
true.
No one will
so
know what we got for him.
Confusing. You don't know where it is. Yep.
But the bottom line is, the question we're all asking on that big picture, the Brady Belichick thing, that's the reality in New England. Forget about the Brady part.
Mm-hmm.
You're left with Belichick, because I know we go down this road way too often. Probably Dale started it a little earlier, the Bill the GM, Bill the coach and all that. And, you know, did Bill the GM screw Bill the coach? And can you fire the GM but keep the coach and all these fantastical, you know, talking points? The reality is what Bill says every post game is true. They need to out coach the other team. They need to coach it better because his best players are on the field. He told us that. I don't know how much better that, you know, Jacoby Myers can play or Michael Onwenu can play.
No, probably max
Bill,
some of those guys out.
You need to figure it out. You need to find a way to make sure that when Adam Butler is lined up on the field, you're getting the best out of Adam Butler and all other 10 guys. Well, 9 guys on some plays because they don't have 11 on the field, but you have to maximize those guys. It's on you. This is why you make the big bucks, you know, whatever it is, $12 million a year, and why you can buy up the entire island of Nantucket for times like this.
I think we have our best players out there.
We will we'll talk to Keyshawn at the top of the hour, but you guys are all lined up. We'll get to your calls coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale. That is clickbait, lazy journalism.
Keefe.
Boston Sports Radio is back.
Andy Hart.
Cam Stinks.
On WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Keyshawn Johnson at the top of the hour. You guys are all lined up. By the way, quick check of the Quickie Twitter poll. It's been up for an hour and 40 minutes now. 2,435 of you have voted. What should they do by next Tuesday? Buy is 29%. Stand pat is 11%. Sell is 60%.
Can I do a write-in campaign for both?
No.
Oh,
so what's the stand? Like, I don't understand the stand pat people, because that doesn't make any sense. You're going to lose Joe Tooney next year anyway, and Stephon Gilmore, the way they kind of dealt with his contract this year, is probably gone as well. So I can understand if you're like, hey, you know what? The division is still there if you beat the Bills, so they should add a piece, right? Because this team clearly doesn't have enough, but you add a piece. I can sort of understand that, but the reality is, this team is not very good, and if you can get anything other than like an eventual comp pick for Gilmore and Tooney, you probably have to do that.
All right, let's get to the calls. John's in Norton. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Great.
So, Andy, you just kind of chimed in exactly what I wanted to talk about. I think they should be buyers and sellers, and I'll explain. If it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Gilmore is not going to come back on his contract next year and they're not going to want to pay Tooney again, then sell those guys now. But everybody agrees their wide receiver and their tight end core suck. I don't think anybody denies that.
Nope.
So going into next year, that same group is going to suck.
Correct.
So why can't you sell Gilmore and Tooney now, get some draft picks, and then take your existing first and second draft picks, or the ones you get, and go out and get a wide receiver and a tight end? And frankly, going into next year, they need two wide receivers and a tight end, because frankly, no one knows if Edelman's even going to be able to walk without crutches going forward. And N'Keal Harry's a bust. So I think they should be both. Now, Andy, you would probably know best, you and Rich,
probably,
who the guys are that they can buy. And what I don't want to see them is go out and buy wide receivers and tight ends that are going to be half a season.
Right.
And
then
be free agents. They need the guys under contract.
Right.
So I want to hear your thoughts on that, please.
Good stuff, John. I agree with a lot of what you said, by the way.
Phenomenal.
That was. That was good.
Nailed it.
Because the only two things you can actually sell off of this team where you're not getting day three draft picks would be Gilmore and Tooney, right?
Maybe Edelman in the idea you send him to Tampa.
Tampa.
Okay. What are they going to play with, like 15 guys?
Brady's like, listen.
Are they the Patriots all dynasty team?
Trade our first round pick for Edelman. They're like, all right, fine.
I'll tell you, Brady's somebody who would get you something probably more than you'd get for Gilmore is like Damian Harris.
Well, yeah, but I don't think so.
He's a running back.
No, I don't think you'd get more, but I'd like to keep him. He's, if you ask me,
he
one of
part
like
of your
five
future.
Players
yeah, yeah.
I might want around moving forward,
ooh,
he's
untouchables?
One of them. I didn't say untouchable,
okay.
But just guys
any,
that I think could be part of the future.
Let me answer that question. You don't have any.
You don't think Damian Harris could be part of the future?
No, yeah, yeah, no.
Okay.
I said
Michael
untouchable.
Onwenu?
I'm saying untouchable.
Oh,
you don't have any untouchables
no
on this team.
No untouchables. God, no.
Like, it's no surprise.
I wouldn't really want to trade J.C. Jackson.
I wouldn't want to trade him. I'm just saying, like, there's nobody that you love. The NFL does their, or the players vote on the top 100 players before every year. And going into this year, they had one guy on the list. Stephon Gilmore was the one guy as the reigning defensive player of the year. But even we all saw it as he plays a position where your early 30s, you're kind of done. Like
so
that,
like running back.
It is. It is kind of similar to running back. How many great corners of our time have then moved to safety and then eventually retired? Like, it's just a tough position to be that good for that long of a time.
Shyam, did you happen to see Mike Giardi's tweet where, if I read it correctly, Gilmore has the fourth highest passer rating against?
He was like allowing like a 100.9 passer rating.
So you remember when I said he wasn't doing very well and you screamed at me and you said that he's doing great?
He's now also not agree. Being targeted a ton. No, I'm not,
yes,
not going to agree.
No, yes, he is.
He's getting targeted.
Yes. You got tight ends one-on-one with him and he's getting targeted.
He's committing penalties left and right.
He's not supposed to be
right.
matched up against tight ends in the first place.
If he's the D player of the year and there's a pass catch
tight
end.
The tight end didn't out-muscle him. The tight end didn't out-jump
him.
No,
he was just
quicker
than
him. He beat him on a traditional out. Like a rented mule.
Yeah.
That's fine. He shouldn't be covering tight ends.
Well, why?
But anyway, circling back to what the caller
was
saying.
You don't take your best defensive weapon and say their best offensive weapon?
Yeah.
Can I use this?
The blue
can
I get
the
tight end?
Why? Yes. Akeem Tlaib, Jimmy Graham.
Did it.
Akeem Tlaib, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, but
the Gilmore apologists are an embarrassment.
Yeah,
he had a great year a year ago.
Right.
He's not having a great year now. It's
correct.
Okay to say that.
He fits
I didn't
in with
say
the
he was having a tremendous year.
You're saying you can't. That's a bad matchup for him.
It is.
You asked him to cover.
Who is the matchup then?
So
shine.
So put him on a crappy receiver and let the other team kick your ass without using your best defensive player. That makes a lot of
do
sense.
Do you think you put him on Steph Diggs this weekend?
Bad matchup.
What do you think Steph Diggs
is? That's not fair. No, you can't.
No, you probably do
put
him on.
He's going to pull his pants down and embarrass him.
Jeez.
That's what he's going to do.
Okay.
That's what he's going to do. She's like, DK Metcalf.
Yeah, Josh Allen needs to throw the football there first.
Well, Steph Diggs is having a pretty good season.
Deflex. He goes in a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
yeah.
Josh Allen
he's
question.
Been able to hit Steph Diggs so far this year.
Bill's in Manchester. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
A little bit. He's like second in the league in receiving.
He didn't score a touchdown last week.
I think the biggest problem with this team right now is Belichick and his personnel decisions. I would love to know, especially when they draft, do they put together a board like the other teams do?
Yeah, I believe.
Where they
have
the top five receivers, the top five tight ends.
Yes.
And then does Belichick just walk in and go, well, we're taking Duggar from a Division II school.
Yeah, that's been
if you
reported,
believe the
yeah.
reports,
yes.
Certainly Michael Holly in one of his books, whichever one was about the War Room, has reported that, and I have heard stories of the scouting process works its way up from the local to regional to this, and there's a grade on the guy, and then Bill comes in and changes the grade and re-racks the board the way he wants it.
And that's what it is, and I think it's time for Kraft to remove that responsibility from him. You look at teams, look at these teams like, you know, Pittsburgh, you can't walk out the door without tripping over, apparently,
stud wide out. You're not
because
Kevin Colbert kicks ass.
He does. He could pick receivers. But just
you look at Kansas City, the way they've drafted, the way
you're right.
Baltimore has drafted the last couple of years. We're not getting beat by other coaches so much. We're getting beat by other GMs.
Bill, the problem is, and I don't totally disagree. I think there's been some hits, some misses. There's certainly some criticism worthy there. If you tell Bill you're no longer in charge the GM,
he's gone.
He's at Nantucket playing lacrosse, doing wall ball off the back wall. Like,
and then he's going to go coach another team.
Right,
and
you can't do that. So you either take it's the whole or package, or you know, that's like saying, I really like Cam Newton to run the ball, and then we'll bring in a passer. Cam Newton's your quarterback. You either take the good, take the bad, or you don't take it at all.
Keyshawn Johnson joins us next. Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!